Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Thank you for joining me for this slightly later edition of the Daily Wrap-Up. We have a good amount to go over today. A lot of speculation flying around in regard to Syria, and I'm going to walk you through my process as the story has been developing today to kind of end up where it seems like we're seeing a bit of a psychological operation playing out, partially maybe even from both sides, as well as some stuff with Afghanistan that counters the overall narrative. And I want to begin today with a couple of points into relation to some things that have been flying around. I just saw in the chat before I started, it looks like RT's reporting that Israel is attacking Hamas. There are all kinds of stuff going on. Now, in regard to Israel, to begin, the story that happened with Syria, which is still staggering to me, see that the vast majority of the mainstream media, save for, you know, the small BBC blurb and it misrepresents the entire story, no one's talking about the fact that Israel just attacked Syria on Christmas. You know, Syria being one of the only countries in the Middle East, or rather one of the countries with the largest Christian population in the Middle East, over a million of them living there, attacking them on Christmas. But it's important to understand that the slight next step of this story was ultimately I'm seeing reports now that in all that that went down, Syria did in fact fire back, as I understand it, actually firing on Israel proper. And because of that is why the attacks ultimately ended. And many people are saying, well, look, that was basically Israel testing the limits to see if we are to attack, if they will indeed fire back. And it seems that they will. So we'll have to see how this plays out going forward. But hopefully they got the answer, rather that we got the answer we were hoping for, which is that Russia and Syria will indeed fire back if Israel continues to fire unprovoked, which it was indeed an unprovoked attack, regardless of all the nonsense they may be putting out. They admitted that they openly spoke to Russia before it happened, that it was planned, that it was going to happen. So it's important to understand how that plays out. And now we'll have to maybe circle back tomorrow and address the notes that I'm seeing in the chat about them basically attacking Hamas. So we'll have to circle back on that whole topic. But I want to begin today by talking about a couple things that I've been seeing fly around that are important for a couple reasons, but are also potentially being used to you know, scare people, fear-mongering, to manipulate you emotionally, that may or may not be nothing. And that's the important thing to realize. Now, well, actually, and first, before I move on, I wanted to show you this. I highly recommend you check out our previous video here on the attacks in regard to Israel attacking Syria. That's doing very well because lots of good information there. That'll be in the show notes as well. Hopefully, you can check that out. But let's begin with the story that is grasping a lot of people's minds, both the blue lights, which I'll get to in a moment, and the fact that CenturyLink system failure caused 911 outages across the United States. Now, I'm not planning on spending a lot of time on this because we ultimately don't know what caused this. But at the end of the day, it shows us that things are not certain, that systems can fail and that things can go down. And I honestly think a lot of this that we're seeing has to do with people testing how Americans will react in the event of something like this. You know, you could call that a psychological operation. But ultimately, what did happen was that CenturyLink failed nationwide. We had outages of the internet causing credit card systems to go down. 911 was busy when you tried to call. I mean, any number of things happened that, you know, ATMs weren't working, local business phones weren't working. The system basically shuts down. Now, this also could be a way to make it be, to, you know, oh, look, the government shut down. Look at what happens. That's just off the top of my head. But the reality is that this stuff can happen. And might happen. Could this be something nefarious? Of course it could. Could this be a test to see how Americans will react? Of course it could. But the overarching point is not to allow things like this without information around them. We don't know what ultimately caused this. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of theories out there flying around from groups that want to make you believe that everything's about to happen, as always. And it may be, maybe. But we don't know for sure. And people want to use these kind of things to get you fearful, to get you afraid, to then sell you a flashlight or something like that. The reality is it's important to notice this stuff. And this was even the next day. It looked like it was still pretty prevalent. That you should be preparing just because you're smart, not because some channel says so, or because something like this can happen. We know this kind of thing can happen. And of course, in a related story that was happening at the same time, which I agree, I'm going to talk about for a second, that it was very, very interesting. This entitled, New Yorkers Fear Alien Invasion After Mysterious Blue Light Floods City Skyline. Now you may be thinking, oh, it's just another one of these weird stories. It probably is nothing. This one actually, my gut would tell me something weird definitely happened here. And that doesn't mean that it's necessarily something nefarious, which is what everyone's selling this as. Watch this video for yourself and you know, come to your own conclusions on whether this looks nefarious or not. Now, to me, that is not normal. What we're looking at here is definitely not a normal... I'll let that play again. And that's definitely not a normal skyline. There's clearly something weird going on there. Now, obviously, this brings to mind things like Independence Day and all these crazy stories, and maybe there's something to that. Ultimately, they're saying this was a transformer that exploded and then apparently managed to pulse and light the sky for 15 minutes at a really weird blue color. I mean, clearly, what I take away from this story, there's something we're not being told. Something weird is going on there. Whether it's simply that they were researching something very weird at this location that got out of control, or there's just some kind of power they're all using that we're just not privy to that's not that scary and out of the normal. We just don't know. There's a lot of questions here. Personally, I think they're just saying, oh yeah, a transformer exploded. That's what caused that eerie blue light to light up the entire sky. That doesn't add up to me. But does it ultimately mean it's something nefarious? We can't say that for sure. And until we know, it could be just as innocuous as what they're saying. We ultimately don't know. It's like pretending we know what some kind of notes were passed amongst some of the elite during a funeral that just adds up to mean everything we knew was going to happen. It's all going to come down tomorrow. We've heard this numerous times. This story, though, the blue light, I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind. Something very weird happened there that they clearly don't want us to talk about or know about. But at the end of the day, with all this being talked about, all the crazy things going around, the bottom line here is that you need to start prepping because it's smart to do so. Not because some site tells you the world's ending tomorrow or some group claims to have the inside word. Prep because you should always be prepped. You should always be prepared because we're in a dangerous time. That's the important takeaway. Not to begin now because the Department of Homeland Security says any moment an EMP could take us all out, which it could. But we've also been hearing these things for a very long time. Now, I'm not saying they're not worthy fears, but there's many people out there, including independent media, that thrive on making you fearful that everything's going to come down in the next couple of days. And then it moves past that and they go, oh, well, next week, it's happening. So just be very wary of anyone trying to sell you things like that, anyone trying to make you feel fearful. And a certain amount of fear is logical today based on everything that's happening. But as I said, prep because it's smart, not because they're trying to sell it to you. Moving on to the first story coming from 21st Century Wire, something that I definitely feel is an important story in contrast to all the claims we've been hearing. This in regard to Afghanistan. Despite Trump's Afghan decree, U.S. commanders dismissing talk of troop drawdown as rumors. Rumors, it says. Very interesting how this may play in. Could this mean ultimately that nothing's happening? Yes. Could it mean that they're not privy yet to the decision, even though everyone has been talking about it? That's possible. I doubt it. Seems to me this is just yet another extension of this whole political stunt involving Afghanistan and Syria, as it's my opinion. Now, numerous reports suggest that Washington's war hawks, as pretty much everyone inside Trump's cabinet at this point, are really not happy with Donald Trump's announcement of bringing U.S. troops home from Syria and Afghanistan. Clearly, as there's dissension in the ranks of a military, of the all-powerful today military-industrial complex that's controlling everything in our country, that's really come to rely on especially those two fronts of war as their profit centers. Now, despite the fanfare following the president's announcement of a large drawdown of 7,000 U.S. troops from Afghanistan that would have left 7,000 there still, assuming those numbers are to be believed, some high-ranking Pentagon officials are claiming that they actually know nothing about a move at all, which is pretty interesting. One such official is U.S. General Joseph Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who dismissed reports, calling them rumors swirling around. Dunford's sentiments were echoed also by General Scott Miller, who maintained that the U.S. will continue fighting until a political settlement is reached in Afghanistan. Again, interesting. Now, this is not 7,000 troops while we continue to you know, come to an agreement with the Taliban, of all people. But know that we're going to continue to maintain what we're doing until that agreement is finished, which contradicts exactly what we're hearing from Trump. Now, as this article reports, Task and Purpose reported, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Joseph Dunford appeared to dismiss reports that President Donald Trump has ordered the withdrawal of some 7,000 U.S. service members from Afghanistan as rumors during a USO holiday event on Monday. Says, quote, there's all kinds of rumors swirling around, he says. And this is during this event. The mission you have today is the same as the mission you had yesterday, speaking to the troops there. Now, Dunford's comments came only a day after Army General Scott Miller, the commander of U.S. forces of Afghanistan, and he stated that he received no orders to withdraw U.S. troops from the country. He says, quote, I have no orders, so nothing has changed. But if I do get orders, I think it's important for you to know that we're still with the security forces in Afghanistan. Even if I have to get a little bit smarter, we'll be okay. Basically doubling down on the fact that regardless, we're not leaving Afghanistan. So take that for what you will. It's very important to understand the similar concept that U.S. troops are currently still in Syria. As much as many people, just because the reports of the fact that Mattis signed the order and that things are happening, like I said the other day, people just go, oh, well, that's done. We're out of Syria. Story's over. Let's move on to something else. Because this is what the mainstream media does to people. This is how they're trying to sell it to you. You didn't hear, the story's over. We're done with Syria. Let's go talk about the wall. Let's go talk about something else that we want you looking at. They may still leave. I'm not saying that won't happen. I hope it does. But as of right now, U.S. troops, the 2,000 they're speaking of, are still in Syria. That's just recently reported, which I'll get into in a moment. Now, moving on to the other story, and this is, I'm going to walk you through how this developed for me as I was reading this information today, because it's a very interesting, what as I called the Mambij PSYOP in Syria. And actually, this seems like it may be, by all accounts, a psychological operation, an informational psychological operation carried out by Syria to manipulate the perception of what's going on in Syria on the tails of the U.S. announcement to leave. Maybe a little bit from both sides, actually. So here's how it started. The first one I saw coming from South Front was an article reported this morning that YPG, the Kurds, the SDF, surrenders Mambij to Syrian army. And I said, wow, that's a big deal. This is definitely something we have to report on. Now, the article reads, it was reported today that the Kurdish People's Protection Units, the YPG, officially surrendered the town of Mambij and other areas that YPG forces have withdrawn from in northern Syria. The group claimed that the decision is motivated by a threat of Turkish invasion and stressed that it will focus on combating ISIS. According to pro-government sources, Syrian army troops have started taking positions near Mambij. Now, the official YPG statement on the issue is as follows, and here's an image for you to look at yourself. Due to the invading Turkish state's threats to invade northern Syria and displace its people similarly to al-Bab, Jarablus and Afrin, we as the People's Protection Units, the YPG, following the withdrawal of our forces from Mambij before, announced that our forces will be focusing on the fight against ISIS on all the fronts in the east of the Euphrates. In conjunction with this, we invite the Syrian government forces, which are obliged to protect the same country, nations, and borders, to assert control over the areas our forces have withdrawn from, in particular Mambij, and to protect these areas against a Turkish invasion. Now, if this is to be believed, as it's being reported, that's a big statement. This is them, and this may, you know, add some light onto why the United States coalition just bombed a bridge that was connecting the SDF with the Syrian army. Maybe because a deal was about to be made, that's certainly possible. So they reached out and said, we're leaving this area because the Turks are going to come and take us out because the U.S. abandoned us. Here is some Mambij back Syrian army, essentially what that boils down to. So then it's being reported that Syrian army takes Mambij. And the next article that was reported said that the troops on the of the Syrian Arab army entered the town of Mambij in the northern part of Aleppo province and raised the Syrian flag over the town on December 28th. And this is according to the state-run news agency Sana, citing a statement by the Syrian general staff. Now, earlier, it was reported that Russian and Syrian troops deployed in the villages of Arima and west of Manbij, clearly getting ready to come towards this area. Now, as the article notes, it should be noted that the fact that the SSA, the Syrian army, had entered Manbij does not mean that members of the SDFs, the YPG, the Kurds, Manbij Military Council will be expelled from the area. According to reports, the sides had agreed to establish a joint control of the area in order to prevent a Turkish invasion, which makes sense. It goes on to say, pro-government sources say that the Manbij agreement is only a first step of a wider deal between the SSA and the YPG. Now, on the situation of the northern Syria, which could be reached soon. So at this point, it seems like, okay, they've made a deal. Syria's actually showed footage of Russian TV from the ground watching the flag be raised. Then, of course, Erdogan steps in and speaks out. And in his first response to the reported deployment of the Syrian army in Manbij, Erdogan said that the Damascus government is running, quote, a psychological operation in the northern city. He said, quote, Turkey's goal is to teach YPG, the Kurds, the SDF, their terror group, he's calling them, a lesson. And we're determined to make it happen. He said, we are against the partitioning of Syria. Our goal is terrorist groups leaving there. If the terrorist groups leave, then there's no job left for us. Which, of course, understanding the absurdity of saying that we're trying to take out this group in your territory, so we're going to illegally occupy your territory, and that's the only reason we're there. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Something that kind of Trump just said? You know, Syria, ISIS is the only reason we're there, despite everyone saying Iran and saying Assad and all these different things. They're clearly taking a page out of U.S. book here. But maybe that's the truth. Ultimately, don't know. But it seems very shockingly similar to the same line we've been fed by the U.S. for a very long time. And that the Turkey will fill the role and occupy this territory, even though the Syrians are coming to a deal with the SDF, as it seems. But as Moon of Alabama pointed out, which is very interesting, a Kurdish delegation is currently in Russia to negotiate a further takeover of the U.S.-occupied northeastern provinces of Hashaka and Qamishli. I'm probably mispronouncing that, by Syrian government forces, which is interesting to realize that there's a Kurdish delegation right this moment in Russia, which lends credence to all of this, that they would, in fact, be ready to make these deals. Now, he goes on to say, the Kurds still hope for some autonomy from the Syrian government that allows them to keep their armed forces. But neither Damascus nor anyone else will ever agree to that. There will only be one armed force in Syria, the Syrian Arab Army. That's the Syrian army. It is possible, though, that some Kurdish units will be integrated within it, which may be what we're looking at. Now, he goes on to say a Turkish delegation is also in Moscow. And tomorrow, Erdogan will visit there as well. Russia spoke out against the U.S. plan to let Turkey take Syria's northeast or even parts of it. So clearly we know where Russia stands on this, on the side of not allowing Turkey to fill the role of NATO occupier when the U.S. pretends or does leave. Now, Erdogan will not get Russian or Iranian support for any such move because they're backing Syria. Now, moreover, he will be pressed to leave the other areas of Syria Turkey currently occupies. So despite all the claims being made that the Syrian Arab Army raised the flag of the Syrian Arabic Republic in Manbij, and it being confirmed by Russian television footage from the ground, the Pentagon is now saying that U.S. forces are, in fact, still in the area of Manbij City, which also shows you that the U.S. troops are still there. This is from the official Twitter account of Inherent Resolve, the operation name, that despite all the things they're saying, our troops are still in Syria, which, you know, shows you, one, that the troops are still there, which doesn't mean it's not happening, but there's already people claiming, oh, didn't the troops are already gone. Syria, they've left already. No, the U.S. troops are still there, in fact. What it also shows you, at least the Pentagon is denying anything that was reported today. That the Kurds made a deal with Syria, that Syria's army came in and took it, that they raised the flag. They're claiming all this, at least that they took control of it, is not true. Now, Zero Hedge is reporting that the local MMC, this is from the website or the Twitter account we just showed you, or SDF Manbij Military Council, appears to still maintain authority in the city in coordination with the Syrian army, which is very weird. So we're basically talking about the SDF, the YPG, the U.S.-backed Kurds, along with the U.S. coalition, with the Syrian army, coordinating in control of Manbij. That's what they're saying. You know, it says there appears a quiet status quo and possible indirect negotiations happening between the United States, the SDF, and the Syrian Army Forces, with broader negotiations between Turkey and Russia, the latter which controls the airspace above the province. Now, on the ground, there's a tense and potentially volatile, yet still stable for the moment, situation still holding. But at the end of the day, it's flat out being reported, U.S. officials deny Syrian claims of recapturing the city. So what's really going on here is anyone's guess. I think what we should be taking from this at the end of the day is that all of these groups are trying to manipulate your perception. Both Syrian, Russian, U.S., Turkey, they're all in a battle for support for what's going on here. And it would seem clearly that, as I pointed out before, that Turkey and the U.S., as NATO allies, are generally on the same side of this effort. But the SDF, the Kurds, feeling like they're being left behind, it seems like tried to reach out to Assad. We saw them blow up a bridge to keep them separate. We know they're currently in Russia trying to work on something. And now they're claiming they allowed the Syrian government to come in and raise their flag. And the U.S. is saying, no, that didn't happen. So very, very weird situation playing out here. But things are definitely shifting away. And really what this should show you too, is that all of the nonsense, again, that I pointed out in regard to the first time they said they were leaving Syria, all the nonsense about how this is the biggest threat to our democracy and how Assad's an evil villain. And all of a sudden now they're going to make a deal. So ask yourself what that means. That either means that it never really mattered to them in the first place, or as important as they're claiming it is, they're still saying, well, too bad, we're leaving, let's make a deal. It just shows you that nothing is sacred here. We have to begin to recognize all of the propaganda coming from all of these groups, but specifically as it pertains to you watching this as an American, if you are, that your government lies to you on a regular basis about everything that's going on abroad, even though your tax dollars are paying for it. But U.S. forces are still there, and now Manbij is this muddled group of all forces, it would seem, basically all seemingly standing waiting for Turkey that is supposed to be coming to invade, which is the next story coming from South Front. Turkish-backed militants march towards Syria's Manbij. So after all of this happening, they're now reporting clearly that Turkey is on the march toward Manbij, while it currently holds the SDF, the U.S. coalition, Russians, and, you know, basically everybody else, all working in a group there, seemingly, or at least coordinating for the moment. Very confusing, as always, the situation in Syria is. But now the Turkish-backed Syrian National Army, the SNA, announced today that its convoys, along with Turkish forces, are moving towards the front lines with Manbij in order to, quote, liberate the northern city, which they claimed before they were waiting because U.S. forces were still there, but they're still there now, and now they're marching anyway to liberate the country. Now, ask yourself what it would mean to liberate Manbij if, in fact, the Syrian army maintained control of it. That's an important thing we need to be ready for, that they're going to maintain their narrative that we're liberating the country from the Kurds, even though the country that they're about, the area, is controlled by the Syrian army, at least in part. Now, the SSA's convoy, along with Turkish forces, have begun to move towards the front lines, announcing their full readiness to begin military operations to liberate the city, according to their statement. Now, a commander in the SNA's First Corps told the Syrian news outlet Inib Baladi that the attack on Manbij could begin in the upcoming few hours, meaning tonight, right now, for that matter, even though U.S. troops are there. They said it may begin tonight or tomorrow. The ongoing movements confirm that the operation is near. And a few hours ago, the Syrian Arab Army deployed hundreds of well-equipped soldiers around Manbij, in addition to whatever the hell's going on inside that city, after the supposed withdrawal of the Kurdish People's Protection Units, the YPG. Now, Turkey's Erdogan, the president, called the army's step a psychological operation, as I said. Now, I don't know if that's the cover for what he's about to carry out. Clearly, the U.S. is still there. We can see that the Syrian army is there. But whether they raise the flag is the ultimate part of it being a psychological operation, it would seem. Now, despite Turkey's claims, local observers believe that the upcoming hours will not witness any military confrontation around Manbij because the U.S. forces are still there. So yet another confirmation that U.S. forces are still on the ground in Syria and have yet to withdraw from the city. And the high-level Turkish-Russian meeting will be held in Moscow in the upcoming days. So it seems very unlikely that Turkey will do anything right now. So what is this all building towards? What are they distracting us from? Should be a very logical question we should be asking. Seeing as how this is just kind of a a play of politics on the ground while everyone seems to be kind of biding their time. Syria waiting for the U.S. to get out of the way so they could take the territory back. Turkey waiting for the U.S. to leave so they can try to take that themselves, and on and on. So who ultimately knows? Maybe we're all being played to even talk about this story in the first place. But it's definitely interesting to see how this is all playing out, and maybe an insight into the fact that all of these people have their agendas, Syria included. And that all of them, in certain ways, may even be working together. Who ultimately knows? It doesn't seem that way when you look at everything every day, but in cases like this, it should raise the question. We should always be asking everything, question everything. And of course, responding to the threat of a Turkish military operation in the area of Manbij, the Syrian Arab Army and its allies are deploying reinforcements to the area, knowing that it's happening. While it's still unclear what positions the government forces will hold and where they even are, in case of the full-scale deal with the Kurdish People's Protection Units, it appears, I mean, it seems, I would say, clear that the Syrian military is serious in its goal to take this area back. And I think they've made that abundantly clear. They've said, including the Golan Heights, that they're ultimately going plan to take back every inch of sovereign Syrian territory. So regardless of what's ultimately going on, the Syrians will not back down in regard to Manbij. So we could be seeing just the switch of who's fighting who as the Turkey storms in pretending to fight the Kurds. Or maybe they are, but that, you know, that's my opinion. So that's the ultimate story there. The Manbij story is definitely, there's more going on than we can see. Someone's trying to manipulate someone. So watch this with discernment. Be ready for anything to happen here, including some kind of a false flag event, as that seems to be the go-to in these situations. But we'll be keeping track of it, and we'll let you know as it develops. For the final story of the day, kind of story that I'm always reporting on, and kind of those I told you so's to people who doubted us to begin with, UN arrives in Hodeidah to monitor fragile truce amid repeated Saudi violations. Repeated. Now, these are sources coming from the ground as of today, from the Mint Press News' source, including my sources on the ground. Their own sources are telling them, yes, they're in repeatedly bombing Hodeidah right now. So it's still happening. So maybe for all we know, this is the story they don't want us talking about. The reality that despite all of the nonsense we've been fed about the 30-day ceasefire, oh, and then on Tuesday as Antonio Guterres, I believe I was mispronouncing his name, from the UN said, don't worry, it's happening Tuesday, and nothing's happened. So the real question should be, why have not the U.S. and the U.N. stood up and said, well, Saudi Arabia, you violated this ceasefire over and over again. Here is your accountability. But no, no one's even talking about it, as Hodeidah continues to be bombed into the ground. So despite the presence of a U.N. monitoring team, led by Dutch Major General Patrick Kamiart, I believe it's a different, interesting last name, Saudi Arabia has increased its attacks on Hodeidah, actually increased, in flagrant breach of the UN brokered truce. And point of fact, recently leaving a father and his child dead after a Saudi-led, US-backed Saudi-led coalition fighters actually launched a guided missile at a Bani Ghazi village in western Hais City just on Wednesday. People still dying, average civilians, with your tax dollars. Now, according to information provided by a local source to Mint Press News, Saudi ceasefire violations included 100 missile attacks and 300 cases of artillery fire and shelling just over the weekend. So in that title, I wrote 400, but it's clearly more than 400 times. Just in over the weekend, we have 100 missile attacks and 300 cases of artillery fire. That right there is 400 violations of the ceasefire, right there. As well as attempts to breach Hodeidah from two different sides. And this is exactly what we warned about. The entire thing was a guise, a feigned ceasefire, so they could get Hodeidah, which they've wanted from the beginning. Now, Saudi warplanes have also continued to carry out missions over Hodeidah. They have not only have they not stopped even slightly, they've increased their efforts to take this area. Despite the fact that the Houthis have done numerous times have shown their willingness to stop their attacks, to make secession, to basically do everything they could to stop this from happening. And it's still going on because the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition, armed with your bombs made to America, armed with your tax dollars, and armed with our fuel they never paid the U.S. for, because whoops, the Pentagon forgot to bill them, is currently still bombing and murdering families in Yemen. Now, on Wednesday alone, Yemen's resistance recorded at least just on Wednesday, 69 violations in the Hodeidah truce by the U.S.-backed coalition. Now, of course, an official for the U.S. coalition in turn stood up and accused the Houthi fighters of 150 violations of the truce. Now, I'm not even saying that's not true. The reality is that well before Wednesday, the Saudis have been repeatedly bombing, violating the truce from before it even happened, well into the moment that it was the hands were shaking and well past it. The Saudis, as I've been proving, have repeatedly continued to bomb and violate the truce. So if on that one day the Houthis violated the truce that they've already broken 150 times, I don't see a problem with that. They're simply protecting themselves. But that's as it's being reported here. I could be completely wrong. As always, come to your own conclusions. But it seems to me that the Saudis have repeatedly, as they've done in the past, used the guise of a ceasefire to continue to intensify their attacks. As happened, this is very easy to verify from the past times. Now, fierce battles are still going on in Nim, east of the capital city of Sana'a, and the noise of warplanes, artillery, and gunfire still echo through the district, as the article reports. The coalition has sent more troops to the city's front line, the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition, complete with tanks and other military vehicles, clearly not toning down as much as they would like you to believe that. But funny enough, has actually continued to fail to make progress on the ground as they continue to not be able to take Hodeidah from the most impoverished country in the world with the backing of the UK and the United States, which is pretty pathetic when you realize it. But they've succeeded in taking a massive area of Yemen. And it's frustrating to see this continue to carry out. And none of the news are talking about, none of the mainstream news dare to talk about this story, dare to mention, oh, despite all of their feigned outrage, oh, they killed Khashoggi. Oh, how terrible. How dare you support the Saudis? And then they flagrantly violate the UN ceasefire. They violate Mattis Pompeo's ceasefire. They continue to murder families and the media is not saying a word. I wonder if they really cared about Yemen to begin with. I'll let you come to that conclusion for yourself. Now, in retaliation for the attack on Nim, Houthi fighters supported by local resistance, as we pointed out before, regular farmers and merchants that have risen up to defend their homeland. So in retaliation for these attacks in Nim, these fighters with these local resistance launched a military operation in the eastern Yemen province of Marib, capturing 90% of the district and strategic areas in this oil-rich region, as well as a 34 square kilometer area of mountainous terrain and other sites controlled by the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition since 2016. So not only are they failing to take Hodeidah, but now they're losing ground in other areas. It's actually fantastic to see because this is Yemen's territory that the U.S., that Saudis are occupying, that they're allowing Al-Qaeda to occupy by the backing of the United States with both of them. Al-Qaeda, the Saudis, all of them. Very interesting to see this. But the takeaway here is that they're continuing to bomb innocent civilians, starving this country to death, while our government does absolutely nothing. One, because of the farm bill and their deceptive act that they slipped in there that allows them, that makes them not allowed to talk about it. But the simple fact that none of your media or nobody is daring to point out what's really going on here. And this is a prime, staunch U.S. ally that the U.S. has backed blindly. Despite everything that's happening, despite the fact that no one in Saudi Arabia is allowed to celebrate Christmas, despite the fact that they are everything the U.S. pretends to be fighting around the world, yet they're the ones they're protecting. Well, they're allowing Israel, another staunch ally, to bomb a country, the one of the countries in the Middle East that has the largest Christian populations, over a million of them, on Christmas. Just a little bit of discernment here, people. Recognize what's really going on. Recognize the type of people that the U.S. oligarchy is supporting, and recognize the groups that they're attacking. And if you do your due diligence, it should be very clear what's really going on. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Please spread this information. If this resonates with you, please get it out there. Send it around. Show people who might want to wake up to the truth, because I believe they're thirsty for it, whether they realize it or not. I got my new End the Fed shirt in today, as you can see. If you'd like to help support this channel, you can do so in a number of ways, one of them being on truthclothing.io/collections/TLAV. Get one of our Question Everything t-shirts or anything else in there with the tag Vagabond. We'll support this channel. Or you can check us out on Patreon, PayPal, Streamlabs, or just check out the video, think about it, and spread the information, because that's what really matters. As always, I love you guys. Truly. I hope you enjoyed your holiday so far. Be safe for the upcoming new year. And always question everything. come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.